magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, as they say, finally Friday, October 18th, 2019. I know, Jason, you've been holding down the fort. I know I'm running a bunch of different directions, but I think a lot of people like to say, oh, it's Friday, so Saturday and Sunday is just around the corner. So we hope you're having a good day today, and certainly look forward to the weekend. Get into a good Bible-believing church where they preach God's Word. You'll benefit, and it's biblical. What's that verse about the assembling together, not forsaking it? It's very
Hebrews
biblical.
Chapter 10.
Hebrews chapter 10. The Bible answer, man.
Yeah, don't forsake the gathering together as some are in the habit of doing. The Bible even is very clear that there's some people who aren't doing it.
Yeah.
Which kind of begs the question, who? You start asking that question.
It's funny. At 2 or 3 in the morning, I guess it would have been in the morning, it would have been Thursday a.m. So, because I mentioned it yesterday to the men's group that I'm a part of. But, you know, I talk a lot about the radio ministry. I love talking about the radio ministry, the different things that God's doing, talking about the Bible, talking about different things. And sometimes I talk about Jesus, but I talk about talking about Jesus. And the conviction that came to me was the fact that, how much am I really talking about Jesus? Would people say, gosh, Mark's always talking about Jesus? And I was thinking, you know what? That's kind of an indictment. I love talking about the radio ministry, talk about these projects, talking about expansion, talk about this thing. But I felt like God was saying, you know, Mark, the best thing to be talking about is the Lord Jesus Christ, what he's done for you, who he is, how he loves the world. And so I shared it with my guys yesterday. I said, I need you to hold me up and hold me to this, that if you see that I'm getting caught up and talking about politics or talking about this or lesser things, call me on the carpet, because I need help, because I want that to just not only become a practice or a habit. I don't know. I'm just like, Lord, I want to learn to have you freshly on my mind, on my heart. I want to talk about you. I want to share you with people maybe that I'm not used to sharing. And I don't know. I feel as the radio ministry, that's the core of what we do. We proclaim the good news message of Jesus, and it should be about him. And, you know, you can squander so much of your time talking about so many other things. And so I don't know if it's maybe it's a resurgent of, you know, that first love. Like, Lord, you are the all in all. You deserve to be proclaimed. You deserve to be honored and adored and worshiped. And yet it's like, gosh, I think I'm talking about too many lesser things. So I guess now that I share this conviction, if you hear me talking about too many other things, call me on the carpet. Just say, hey, Mark, where's Jesus in that? I don't know, but that's just something that I felt strongly put on my heart. And you can even go to the point where you're talking about Jesus and not really talking about him. And it's not just talking about him. It's like you have said in the past, it's spending time with him, really relishing what he's doing and wanting to do in and through you, just speaking to him and him speaking to you and you listening. And the other thing I shared with the guys is I found myself, you have the phone, like everyone has phones out all the time. Well, I get these little movie clips. They could be like 3 minutes or 6 minutes, like the war scene from Gladiators or, you know, something. And I kind of got hooked where, you know, I'd see three or four of those, and it, you know, it's an action adventure for like 6 minutes. And I thought, gosh, I'm just kind of squandering time. Now, you know, I'm relaxing. I've accomplished whatever for the day, and I'll, but I might watch three or four of them, and 12 minutes have passed, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I saw those movies anyways. Or you see a clip of a famous portion of some movie, and, you know, I just, again, it's priorities. And anyway, that's just like a habit. It's like, I got to just end that. Anyway, so here we are, transparent with everyone. Hold me accountable. I want to, like my mom used to say, keep me green so I know I'm growing, Lord. You know, keep me green.
Well, we have to be careful, right? We have to be careful with what our motivations are, because I think I said on Sunday morning in the sermon, now I can't remember off the top of my head where it's attributed to, but, you know, oftentimes our desire is not God, but instead to use God. Our desire is to hold God like a candle that we use to look for something else. And then, you know, we can say, well, I couldn't have got it without the candle. But really, once we find what it is we're looking for, we set the candle aside and we're enamored with the thing that we were looking for, which wasn't God, because we're using God as a means to get something else. And so you could very easily say, well, God was a means for this radio station to happen. And let me tell you the testimonies and how God made this happen. But now I'm going to talk way more about the radio ministry than I'm going to talk about the one who actually brought it forth, who fuels it, who strengthens it, who allows it to be anything that it could be. You know, and that's really interesting because yesterday morning I was walking. My new, well, it's not new. I've been doing it for a couple months now. But every morning before I do anything, let me clarify that, not before I do anything, because I have to get the kids on the bus and we, you know, we sit at the table and they have breakfast and we do all that. But after the kids get on the bus, I don't do anything before I take a walk. I walk for 40 minutes. And so I put on some music on my headphones and I go out and I walk for 40 minutes. I got a little path that I walk out, you know, around the block and around the neighborhoods and all that kind of stuff. But I don't check an email. I don't answer a text message. I don't do anything. You might catch me beforehand when I'm sitting at the table with the kids, but I don't once the walk is a non-negotiable because it gets me going. It kind of centers me. It really helps my day. And so, and it gives me a lot of time to think. And what I've noticed, particularly in the last week and a half or so, it's like the rest of the week, you know, it seems like you're on dial-up. You know what I mean? It's like, you remember the old modems that you used to have back in the day when you used to...
Yeah, the Jewel days. Both Jason and I worked for Jewel food stores, and you would transmit your orders through the phone lines with this big coupler thing you would put over the bottom of the phone. Yeah, those were the old Jewel
days. You think about it, it was highly ineffective. No way. I don't know how it worked right. But really, I think that most of the time, because of everything that's going on and all the competing things in our lives, we're like on dial-up. But during the time when I walk and I just talk with the Lord, I feel like it's like, you know, it's like 5G. I mean, and he's talking to me and I'm talking to him. And particularly yesterday, I was just walking and I was just thinking about my calling. I was thinking about what the Lord has called me to do. And I was thinking how funny it is. I'll tell people all the time, well, I've been called to preach God's word. And so I talk about that, what I've been called to do. But I don't talk a lot about the calling. And the calling is the process from when you were called to today and on into the future. The process of what God is doing in your life as you're moving forward in this thing that he called you into. And so, you know, in the Bible, we have the word call used as like calling upon the Lord. You know, like where we're seeking the Lord. You know, and the Lord says, seek me and I will find you. You'll find me. When you call upon me, when you direct your attention to me, you'll find me. So we're seeking the Lord. And then the Lord comes and he calls us. He calls us to something. Every single person, if you're listening to this and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and call him your Savior, you've been called to something. You've been called to parent a family. You've been called to be put in a position in a business where you have influence, gospel influence for Christ. You've been called no matter where you are. I get people all the time who's like, I don't have a calling. I'm like, oh my gosh, you have five kids. You have a calling. Like, your calling is to pour into them and lift them up so that they can become part of this kingdom that never ends. And so, you know, we call upon the Lord, we seek him, and then we've been called to something, which is God summons us to something. He elects us. He declares his ownership on us and draws us forward. And then out of that, we have where we're appointed. And I also call it the sanctification. So listen, because I'm a pastor, 3 points. We seek him because we call on him. And then we're called to something, which is him summoning us. And then we have our calling, which is the sanctification period, which is the period where we're working out our calling with fear and trembling.
Yeah, that refining process.
Yeah, the refining process. Listen, the process where, listen, if we begin to talk about calling, things get messy really quick because then we got to talk about all the ways in which we fall, we fail, we struggle, the things that you just talked about a minute ago, that, gosh, I want this to be about this, but I find myself doing this. It's Romans chapter 7 where the Apostle Paul says, I keep doing this thing that I don't want to do, and why do I keep doing it? Gosh, you know, he builds kind of this head of steam where he goes, what a wretched man am I? Who can deliver me from this body of death? Which is the question that all of us in Christ should be asking. Who delivers me from this body of death? The one who called me, Jesus Christ. And then he says, thanks be to God who saves me continually, daily through Christ. And then it goes on in Romans 8. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then in that moment where Paul is kind of slumped over, wondering how the heck he's even going to make it, God lifts him up and shows him this success story that he's a part of in Christ Jesus. And I think that that's what it's like, you know, because when I talk about my calling, things get messy really quick. And things get messy because all of a sudden I have to talk about all the places where I need to be sanctified in, all the places where God is at work in my life, all the places where I fail. But the point of that sanctification, the point of the calling story is not my failures, but God's successes. and how God uses me in ways that, that are unfathomable in the midst of my humanity failure. Mm-hmm. Let's just be honest. I have a lot of people who I meet all the time who say to me, and I don't say this with ego. I just say this because it's fact. They meet me and they go, "Oh, Pastor Jason, I just love what you said there. Oh, Pastor Jason, I just love what you do with God's Word. Oh, Pastor Jason, I just seems to me like God just really uses you to preach His Word." And I just have to tell you, let's just have a moment of clarity for a minute. There's been times where on the way out to do the thing that people want to celebrate me to do, I have been unkind to my wife. I have been antagonistic. I have been short with my children. I have been all kinds of things that if you got to see that, it would jade how you feel about that experience you have with me. And for some, you're like, "Well, this is kind of hard to hear. I don't like this." I understand you don't like this. That's why we call. That's why we talk about being called and not calling. That's why we spend so much time talking about God called me to be this. No, I get it. God called you to be that. I can see that. Now tell me how that looks. Mm-hmm. Tell me the story of God working that out in your life. Because the Apostle Paul seemed to think that was important to tell us that story. He seemed important to tell us that he's the chief of sinners. And I have to believe that people were like, "No way, Paul, not you. You divide the word. It's like fine wine." And the Apostle Paul goes, "Yeah, that might be nice, but you want to see some other things?" Yeah. "You want me to tell you the story where there was a slave girl who was walking around bothering me, and finally I cast a demon out of her, not because I loved her, but because she annoyed the heck out of me?" And yet, Paul, that's the same Paul who in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, "If I don't have love, I have nothing." He says, "I could have all the gifts in the world, prophecy, knowledge, spiritual gift of tongues, but if I don't have love, I have nothing." But in that moment where he saved that girl, was he loving? I would venture to say he was more frustrated than he was loving. But yet, that was God's success story. Because in his weakness, God used him in great ways.
When he talks about that, "I find myself doing the things I don't want to do." So there's a revelation right there. He's obviously whatever, the habits or bad tendencies or the sin. And then I'm thinking of the Apostle Peter. I'm reading that book, St. Peter's Principles, and it's the same thing. God uses those that are inept, that are ill-equipped, mm-hmm. that aren't gifted. And actually, it seems like God delights in the weaker things because then he gets the glory. It's not about our abilities or talents or gift sets or whatever. Generally, God needs to break us to the point where we kind of relinquish the control and say, "God, if it's me doing it, it's going to fail. But with you doing it through me," and then ideally he's getting all the glory, he desires to use all of us in that capacity.
I think that is entirely true. But I also think that like the Wizard of Oz, we love to hide behind the curtain mm-hmm. and run the great and marvelous Oz. You know why? Because we love when people give us accolades for giftedness. We love it when people celebrate the words that we say and the things that we do. We love it. We're no different than Moses, who's like, "Gosh, you know what, God, I love you, but show me the glory. Let me get a little piece of it. Let me be a part of it." And God says, no. "The only thing you're going to get, Moses, is you're going to get to see where I just was, my kabod, the backside. You're going to be able to see where I just was." Why? So that you can celebrate what I did and not try to inch your way into being part of the celebration as though you somehow caused it. You somehow brought it forth. And that's God's continual in the Old Testament rebuke of the people, right? When you get in the land and you eat and you're full and you built houses and you did all this, you're suddenly going to begin to say, "I did this, not the Lord." Mm-hmm. Which is a fallacy. It's not a truth, but it's the battle that we have consistently. And I think that one of the places that keeps us grounded, that keeps us from hiding behind the curtain and running the grand and marvelous Oz, is to be honest about the stories in our calling. To be honest about how tough it is. We don't talk about that so often. You know, I had something happen to me. It was very interesting. This whole year, one day I'm going to sit down and make, you know, a dozen or two dozen videos about this year. Because this year for me has been very powerful. The Lord has done so many things, and I am not the same person today that I was a year ago.
And when you mention about these videos, those may be unfamiliar with your Facebook posts or your church website.
Yeah, I don't know where I'll put it. It's just something I keep thinking. I need to share some of this with people. And this is why. So a number of months ago, my wife and I got together with a couple. You know, we got to have dinner with them. And the couple was very kind of, you know, "This is what we do," you know, just very kind of keeping it all together. How do I want to say it? We didn't know them at all. And so they had a good front.
Yeah, facade.
Yeah, well, I don't want to say facade because I don't want to be unkind. But everything appeared to be very good. And everything appeared to be moving in a good straight line, if I can be just very kind. And so, you know, at one point during the dinner, they said, so tell us, you know, tell us some of your story. And so we told our story, and I'm pretty unabashful about my story. I'll just tell you. And so we told our story. We told about my wife leaving. We told about kind of the struggles that we've had and all that. And I could watch, I was watching their faces, I told them, and I thought, well, dinner just got shorter. It just got shorter. And I don't mean that in an unkind way, but I just was watching their face, like kind of like, oh, whoa, because this is not what they had thought Pastor Jason and Tasha were. And then there was like this really silent moment, and both of these people put their head down and they said, well, the last number of years have been really difficult for us. Mm-hmm. We've really struggled, and we've had to, you know, we've had to help get some help, and we've had to do this and this, and it's been really, really hard. And it opened up a conversation that was no longer about the front door, but it was about what's in the house. Right. And that comes from talking about your calling, talking about what's happening in the midst of the story. And we spend so much time at the front door celebrating what the front of the house looks like and never getting in the house and getting to know one another and really talking about these things where people drop their guard down and say, oh my gosh, this is what's happening as I'm following Jesus also. Mm-hmm. And so I think we need to talk about that more often, because a lot of people just want to talk about how it's no big deal. You know, following Jesus is easy. Ah, there's never been a problem where I struggle with God's love. Ah, the Lord is always faithful. Everything is always good. And whenever people say that, and maybe for me there's just a hint of pessimism where I go, I get all those things, but what world are you living in? Yeah. Because the world that I walk with Jesus, it sometimes is very hard. There are reasons why Abraham said to God, what about if there's 25 righteous people? What about if there's 15? What about if there's 10? You still going to be good? You still going to save people? Why do people shake their fist at God and cry out to him? Why does Job say what he does? Why do the prophets say what they do? They're not becoming faithless. In fact, I would venture to say they're actually more faithful. You know, when Michael the angel shows up to Daniel, after Daniel's been fasting and praying, Daniel says, where were you? Daniel doesn't go, oh my gosh, I just knew you would come. Everything's wonderful. He goes, where were you? Why weren't you here quicker? And if we're all honest, at some point in our life, we must have said that to God. Why weren't you quicker? Why didn't you get here faster? And those are points where we can have real honest conversations. Lord, when I said I do to my wife, why did it get so hard? I mean, you brought us together, you knit us together, you wanted us to be together. Why did it get hard? Lord, why did that person that I know and love die? Lord, why were my children afflicted in this way? Lord, why is this happening? We have to be honest about those questions and honest about those conversations. Because if we really want to truly want to do what Jesus did, which was to love God and love his people with all of our heart, soul, and might, all of our muchness, then those questions are a part of the deal. And the more we kind of prop ourselves up on this plastic pedestal of like our giftedness or our goodness or our even our faithfulness, the more we devalue creating places where we can talk about those things, our calling. And so I just think that we've got to be very honest about those things.
Yeah, and you almost have to find some friends that you can be that transparent with or share those prayer requests or the struggles that you're going through and know that they recognize you're flawed, we're flawed.
Yeah.
I always like where you used to bring up when I tell you I'm frustrated with this or this, and you said, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. You know, get over it, Mark. You're a sinner. You're flawed. You know, you're never going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And generally, it brought to mind my renewed need of needing the Savior, because we can go a week and feel pretty good. Or I don't know if I can even say I could go a week, but you can go a period of time. And then what happens? You get a little more prideful.
Yeah.
Or maybe in my case, I get a little more judgmental where, come on, live up to this. And I think the Lord's broken me enough times to say, you know, Mark, you don't need to look or compare to anyone else. Mm. Focus on yourself, and I'm reminded of that all the time. If I start thinking thoughts about, well, that person and that, and I'm like, gosh, Mark, look, you've been walking with the Lord all these years, and this is all the further you've come. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I'm thinking, Lord, I've known you. You've done miraculous things in my life.
Right.
I've seen Red Sea parting miracles, mm-hmm. really have. And I'm thinking, you know, and this is all the further I'm at in my relationship with you, because I've seen some miracle things.
Yeah. And so I think, and I just want to reiterate this because I think that this is so important, it needs to be said twice, or maybe this will be the third time I said it, is that when we talk about this, we're not talking about, we're not highlighting our failures and our lack of, but what we are doing is we're highlighting God's successes in the midst of those failures, that God can still use me to preach the word, even though there are times when I am not good at home. There are times when I am not loving, when I do exactly what Paul says don't do. And that's the part where God is refining me. And yet, in every single one of those moments, he comes in and he rescues me. Mm-hmm. You know, he does just what Jesus did with Peter. He reaches out his hand and he goes, come on, get back up. We've got some walking to do. And so I just want people to know that this isn't about celebrating failure. This is about celebrating God's successes, that he would take broken vessels like us and tell us, you can still hold a bit of water, and I'm going to use you.
You know, and I'm thinking about the fact that none of this surprises the Lord either. It's
kind of affirming,
you know, when he called you to preach, he knew 30 years ago, 50 years ago, from all eternity, your blunders, where you would fall short, mistakes you'd make, our sins, the same about me. And yet he made it very clear at a defining point in time that I'd come to know him, that I'd accept Jesus into my heart, that I'd receive him as my Savior. And I don't know if he's believing the best, or he sees me through the shed blood of Christ, that he sees me whole and complete, or how he works it out. But it's amazing to think that he sees the best in me. Wants the best for me and recognize I'm flawed and fallen, and yet he chose from all the history to bring me into that relationship with him, knowing all the sins I'll commit today, next week, into the future, and he still called me. And that really helps me deal with life.
Yeah, just to think, God can see over your whole life. So he sees the whole resume. Yeah. And so when he's looking for workers in the kingdom, he picks up that resume. And I just take it to think, kind of maybe in a funny way, the angels are like, oh no, not that one. Not Mark Burns. Look at that resume. Look at what a mess it is. And God goes, I think I got something for him.
Yeah.
And they're like, wait, no, not, I got something for him.
Yeah.
And God does what we do in opposite. God picks the unpickable. Right. He picks the ones who are last. When I was a kid, I always got picked last to play dodgeball. And yet when I think about where I am today, God took me and picked me first.
Yeah.
And yet it's not just me. It's a billion tying for first, because God picked all of us first in Christ.
Right. Amen. And whether they say you can take that to the bank, it's a truth. He loves you. He has a plan for you. Even this day, he desires to work through you. Now recognize, as Jason has mentioned, it's a process. Sanctification, it's not easy work. He'll refine our characters. He will bring about healthy conviction. We're always to draw on him and on his strength and on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Let's all do that together today. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.